It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's talk to our Eagles reporters. The Birds, one game down in the preseason. Kind of boring, but it's okay. I mean, you know, it's all right. And fascinating that, you know, on defense, that thing gets run by Vic Fangio to the point where a team that typically doesn't play their starters played their starters. I mean, other than Brandon Graham, and I think it was one or two others, you know, guys
Josh
played.
Josh Sweat was not
in Josh
there.
Sweat. But otherwise, you know, dudes played.
Slay was not in there.
Correct. But it does go to show you that, you know, there's some handle from Vic Fangio. And, of course, Elliot was there. We'll be chronicling the Eagles all season with us and for us. And Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. You can shop online 24-7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
Do you think Newt Gingrich is walking around saying you'll never guess who is on my cruise?
Listen, he knows that a future president...
Hammer!
And I was very tempted to talk to him about all that. But I
was going
to
say, did you ask him about it?
I just let it go. I mean, I didn't want to be that guy.
I think it's right, smart move.
Like, you know, because it's tempting, but, you know, it's like, all right,
I'm sure you would have loved to pick your brain.
I'll have some decorum. All right, Elliot, first time, obviously, on the show that we've had you on, anyone's had you on our show since the game. Number one thing that stood out to you from Friday night, what hit you the most?
Yeah, the number one thing that stood out to me was I think this team looks ahead of schedule of where they were last year. And I'm kind of grouping in the training camp practices there. But, you know, for the most part, I thought they looked like a clean, crisp team that looks ready. And that's what I think they've looked like in training camp. Last year, I thought they looked sloppy in that first preseason game. I remember coming away thinking they looked sloppy. And I think you can already see the difference in just having experienced coaches that, you know, I have been through this before in getting them ready. So that was my number one takeaway from a player perspective. I thought Trotter was the biggest star, but overall team perspective, I thought they looked much better than I anticipated.
So, Elliot, John's bothered by the starting offense not playing. I am past that point. A few years ago, it probably would have irked me. I mean, it makes it boring. But I don't think it makes them not ready for week one or for week 20, so to speak, the playoffs. Where do you stand now in the year 2024 of the need to play starters on offense?
Yeah, so this reminds me a lot of the exact discussion we had, not last training camp, but last year heading into that final Eagles game of the season. It was they need to play their starters. They have to get ready for the playoffs. There are no position to rest people. You have to get prepared. And then what happened? A.J. Brown got hurt. He didn't play in the playoff game. And obviously they lost. So I am always going to err on the side of protect your most and best valuable players. There is no benefit to risking A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith or any of these high-powered offensive guys for 5 or 6 snaps. I mean, yes, would you, in an ideal world, like them to be in bubble wrap and be able to play? Yes, but that's not the case. So I thought it was smart not to play him.
I think you're, wrong on that. But how hard will these teams go?
Last time Jalen got played in a preseason game, a Jets player drilled him out of bounds. So I just think you can't control what the other team does, and it's not worth risking it.
All right. Well, I need him to feel what it feels like with the new protection scheme in place while he's at risk. I would like for him to be out there with live bullets flying, so to speak, before it really counts. But that is just me, and I don't know that we're going to get that. I know that they're going to be practicing hard against the Patriots.
Yeah.
What is that going to look like, Elliot?
So these are, without question, the best practices of training camp. And they only have one this year. So today will be the day. It is the closest thing they will get to use your term, like live bullets, right? The line, they will have the pads on. The line play will essentially be live. And then obviously they can't hit the quarterback. But outside of that, in my experience covering them through all these years of these joint practices, They're competitive. They feel like games. I think they're in some ways better than games because they can put them in certain situations where they can run red zone 10 straight times, or they can run a 3rd and 5 10 straight times. So this is probably the best we'll get at the team before they head to Brazil for Green Bay. So I'm super excited to get down there. I think it'll be a very telling day of where this team is at.
Do you have any indication in advance how long they expect to be practicing or scrimmaging against the Patriots?
Yeah. So I think they're going to go about 2 hours.
Wow.
So we'll see, you know, what they actually end up at. But again, with only one of these practices, I think they'll go long. So, yeah, I would think like 2 hours.
That's great. How likely is it that joint practice means we will see the starters less or might not see the starters in the actual game itself?
It's a good question. The fact that there's only one of these practices does, I think, leave the door open a little bit to them playing on Thursday night. But we've had this discussion, you know, it feels like before every preseason game for the last 2 years. And almost always the answer has been no, no matter what the circumstance has been. So I would think the chances we see Jalen and the offensive line and AJ and Saquon on Thursday night very slim.
Oh, boy. So our third wide receiver competition has been something that everyone's been keeping an eye on. What's the status of guys like Paris Campbell health-wise? Britton Covey's been getting a lot of action. You know, Johnny Wilson has been a guy who seems like he can do a lot more than just catch passes when he's out there as a blocker, too. How are things looking?
So I think right now there's no clear-cut lead for that third receiver spot because Paris Campbell hasn't been practicing. I think there's a shot that when Paris Campbell comes back, and maybe that will be today, I'll find out, you know, about an hour or so, that he just takes that role as a third receiver. But I think they like that they have a lot of different options in terms of Britton Covey brings something different than Johnny Wilson does. Johnny Wilson brings something different than John Ross does. And Paris Campbell is probably, you know, the best mixture of all three. But I think in terms of trading for a guy or adding to the roster, I don't view that as adding a third wide receiver. I view it as adding somebody that if AJ or Devontae were to go down, can be the top backup behind them. So I think they're cautiously optimistic about what they can get out of Covey, Johnny Wilson, Paris Campbell, and John Ross. But if there were to be an injury, then I think they definitely want to prepare themselves for that. So that would be the trade target, not a third guy.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us, says he is every Tuesday at this time. Elliot, I want to give you today's Twitter poll question of the day, and I'm curious how you would vote. You obviously see all these practices that are open to the media. Are you convinced that Jalen Hurts is all the way back to being a great quarterback again? If you had to vote yes or no, which lever would you pull?
So obviously I have a unique perspective here, having actually seen him every single day. And so if I would only look at these practices, I think it's an obvious yes. I mean, he has 17 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He looks outstanding in almost every practice they have. I think I've noticed he's opening up a little bit more, both, you know, at the podium, even after practice, like hanging around, talking to guys. So the obvious answer for me would be yes. But I also know that, you know, they have to do it in the regular season. So, yeah, of course, I would say yes. I would be a little cautious and like pounding the yes button. But based off just what I've seen, it's far more of a yes than a no.
Elliot, Mekhi Becton played one series as our guard in this preseason game. Tyler Steen played a lot. Trevor Keegan played a lot. Is there any development in terms of the way the coaches feel about who's advancing in that competition?
So it seems like it's going to be Becton. I think at this point it is his job to lose, but he could definitely lose it. I mean, they played him for a reason. They want to get him out there, see him in game action. I think today is a really big day for him. Again, live action against the Patriots defensive line. So we'll see how he performs today. My guess is you might see him again on Thursday night. So I think they are leaning Becton, but at this point of everything that's gone right for this team in camp, right guard is the one position where I think it's been more of a negative than a positive. So I think it's Becton, but it wouldn't shock me if there was some type of last-minute switch there because, you know, Becton has not proven he can play the position.
Elliot, is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Nakobe Dean both going to make the team?
So I think Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is definitely making the team. He's a lock. He will be on the roster. And I think Nakobe will be on the team. I think he's an interesting, like, surprise trade candidate. If they don't feel that they feel comfortable with him in pass coverage, I could see them flipping him to another team that might be intrigued by his potential and, you know, getting a different player. But at this point, I think Trotter Jr., like maybe not on the week one depth chart is ahead of Nakobe, but in the large scheme of things, I think he might be like number one, right there with Devin White in terms of how much they value a player.
Wow, that's a great job by him.
Is that
if he's established that quickly, that's great.
Is that great Trot or is that bad Nakobe? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, good question. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's great Trot. I think he has been outstanding in training camp. I think the fact how quickly he's been able to move up to the first team defense shows how quickly he's picking it up. I think he's been better athletically than I expected. And that's the interesting thing about Nakobe. If you would have told me, you know, 12 practices in the training camp that he wouldn't be the starter and I think they could trade him, I would probably tell you he's playing poorly or he's gotten hurt. And I don't think either of those things are true. I think he's actually been pretty good in some ways, still struggles in coverage. But the issue he's running into is Trotter is better than expected. Zach Bond is clearly the number two guy. And then Devin White's the number one guy. So Nakobe's actually having a decent camp. I just think Trotter's been better.
Well, okay. Elliot, wonderful report, bud. We'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks, my man.
Yep, sounds good.
Talk to you. All right, Elliot Shore Parks. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up at 8:30, we're going to tell you something related to our show, how you can get involved. Also, Jason Kelce weighing in on last year with the Birds. We'll get to that. The Hassan Reddick mess. And it is a mess for the New York Jets and how the Eagles look and how he looks in light of that. We'll get to that more up ahead. And obviously the Phils, speaking of a mess, they're a different kind of mess. Still a great record, but the arrow has been pointed down for a long stretch now. That and more, all your phone calls. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP. Hey, obviously football is upon us. Regular season is approaching soon, real soon. And it's time for you to get in on all the action this season with FanDuel Sportsbook. So many different ways you can obviously bet and win, whether it's game by game, whether it's the player props, you know, passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, who's going to win it all in the end, who's going to make the playoffs even prior to that. All of it is there at FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer, where right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's right. Now think about this. $5 bet. If you win it, you get $150 in bonus bets if you're a new customer. That's a spectacular deal, and that's what you get with FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer. Of course, you can also get involved with tonight, the local baseball team, back in action as well. All this
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And this song is.
So did you get?
You're the one who talked about it. You brought it up.
I brought it up in the context.
This is your call,
since
buddy.
Since I was gone, Nick Foles retired. I mean, have some respect. That's all I was trying to say.
But you're gone for 2.5 weeks. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that happened.
There's a lot.
Well, you shouldn't go away for 3 weeks, Joe.
three weeks. What? 3 weeks.
What do you mean? Was it four?
Four.
I mean, seriously, it did seem a little lackadaisical, like just traipsing about going on.
I must say, since I've been gone, I see a little glow with both of you guys. I got one glow from, with the
It's called R&R, refreshed and rejuvenated.
On your end, and then on John Ritchie's end, I mean, look at the glow he's got going on.
Oh, what?
You look like you have, like, found something.
What do you mean?
Special. I don't know. You just seem
Seriously? Have
this thing about you. I can sense an aura. It's a different aura.
I can't imagine. I was more concerned.
I definitely can't imagine that.
Right? Yeah, it surprises the
hell. If something like that happened in the last 10 days, that would be a bigger upset than Georgetown losing to Villanova.
Something
in
like what?
Great point.
Something like what?
Some romantic interest or something like that
for Joe.
No,
and
for you, that is surprising.
Well, that has
It's getting weird in here right now. All right, all right. Well, since I was gone,
I just see a different
show.
I just see a different thing going on.
Really?
Yeah, it's just different.
I'm pleased that you noticed something different because I think there is something different also.
And, summer at John. There it is. Summer at John. Rock
is
and roll.
Is this summer?
I'll tell you whose summer it's not. Hassan Reddick. So let's get to this. So.
Yes.
All right, Ray's been playing the audio in the update. You know, different pieces of audio from yesterday. Various reporters, including Adam Schefter, saying like he's not reporting. And so here's the really interesting thing. Yesterday he asked for a trade. Now this is what Joe Douglas said yesterday. So Joe Douglas comes out and says, of course he's the Jets general manager. He said, "This is the quote: We have informed Hassan that we will not trade him."
Yeah.
That he is expected to be here with his teammates,
mm-hmm.
and that he will continue to be fined per the CBA if he does not report.
Which is $50,000 per day.
Yeah, I mean, he's over $1 million already.
Yeah.
And by the way, it was also reported yesterday by Schefter and perhaps others that this is actually pretty unbelievable. Since they acquired him, the only time he's been in the Jets facility is the one day when he did an introduction news conference.
He came in and said how excited he was going to be.
Ruben, could you imagine acquiring a guy as a GM and he shows up for one day over the span of about 5 months?
Well, and they haven't even...
one day!
They have not even discussed...
Yeah.
A contract.
So,
that's what was so surprising to me.
Well, someone did not do their homework.
Well, someone's probably Joe Douglas.
The Jets are going to be the Jets.
And perhaps the Jets, and perhaps Hassan Reddick's agent. I mean, somewhere along the line, something's off here. Because here's what Joe Douglas also said. He said, this is the part of the quote also, he said, "Since the trade discussion back in March, we have been clear, direct, and consistent with our position. Our focus will remain on the guys we have here as we prepare for the regular season."
He was very practical about the way he approached it. He said, "We told him we need him to be in the building, and then we can talk about that other stuff." He never, you know, after the initial press conference, he never came to the building. And so they were very practical about it. They just said, "Well, I guess we're not advancing the talks."
I will say this.
I was shocked that they told us yesterday there have been no discussions whatsoever about his contract.
But I will say this in the Jets' defense, and I know they're getting lambasted across the nation today, and I can understand why, but I will say this in their defense is that, you know, Hassan Reddick's, let's call it demand for money, might just be so unrealistic that no one's going to give it to him. I mean, the fact of the matter is,
it's not.
You would think, ordinarily in a situation like this, when a team like the Eagles trades him, he gets traded to a team who, upon acquiring him, the new deal is essentially prearranged.
It's what they did with A.J. Brown. I mean,
AJ Brown. That's exactly right.
Remember, Vrabel was like, he's not going anywhere, and he was gone.
Yep. Happens all the time. Ruben,
let me point it out. Same agent. Yeah. Say he has the same agent.
And that one worked out.
Yeah.
Ruben, when you got Roy Halladay, and it wasn't a money issue in Toronto, it was like he wanted to go have a chance to win, but you had to prearrange, negotiate with Halladay's agent before acquiring him, that there was a 3-year, $60 million deal tacked into that.
Correct.
So that stuff happens before the trade is consummated normally. So someone here messed up, whether it's the Jets, and it seems like it's the Jets primarily, but let's not kid ourselves. Reddick might be thinking that he wants 70% of what Micah Parsons is about to get, but Reddick at his age, it appears, is not going to get 70%. I mean, James, let me give you a quick analogy. James, I used to say to you all the time, and not in a rude way, in a way I really cared about you when you were younger in this industry. I mean, we were about the same age, but you were a little younger, and we would go out to dinner, and I would try to look out for you, and we worked elsewhere, and I would always say to you, and I've said this to a bunch of people through the years, you have to establish value.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're only going to pay you if you establish value that makes them choose you at dollar X instead of someone else at dollar X or Y or Z, whatever it is, right? And the thing is that this is not to say Hassan Reddick hasn't established something that the people should want out there. I mean, certainly he has. But if his demands are pay me $33 million a year and all the people want to give him is $24 million a year, if he doesn't move off his stand, I'm just making up numbers. I could be off by 5 or 10. I don't know. Like, if he's just so dug in, then...
The Jets can't make the deal unless they know they're getting a new one done with them. That's just stupid.
Oh, I agree.
I agree with that.
The Jets should get dinged for that no matter what.
I agree with that. No, I agree with that.
Right now, he is sitting at somewhere around 20th. 20th or higher in pay.
He's making
for
15
edge
million.
Rushers.
Yeah, $14.5
million. Yeah. I would expect that because that like top of the league right now, Bosa is making 34. That those next new contracts, that the ballpark he's looking at is 35 plus.
Well, that's crazy,
that's
though.
That's the ultimate goal. I agree with you. For him, that's not. He's a different player than that. He is more of a niche player
and
than
he's
that.
Older.
Absolutely.
That's the
but
thing. He's
you
older.
Have to factor all these things in, and he has said from the get-go, you know, he wants paid more than the $14 or $15 million that he has made the last couple of years. He's been the good soldier every step of the way until now. The writing was on the wall for this.
It's a pretty wild situation. So, look, we'll keep our eye on it. And obviously the next big domino is just, without a contract, does he show up or not? Just yes or no, does he show up? Most players eventually do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phones. Richie in Northeast Philly. Richie, good morning, buddy.
Joseph, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you,
James,
sir.
James did a great job. Friday's show was an absolute killer show. I highly advise you to go back and listen and give your colleagues a peep there. But I do want to know, while on vacation in Greece, how many times did Joe DiCamera say, "Fetamou papone"?
Well, that would be zero.
That would be bring me my cantaloupe.
Ruben, I had a friend. It was a friend in college.
In quotes, friend.
Who had an inappropriate relationship with the cantaloupe. If you understand what I'm saying.
Was it more than one?
And because I told that story
on
the air,
relationship implies multiple
these guys think the friend was me. It was not me.
You were asking for a friend.
I wasn't asking anything. He chose to do it.
Was it more than once?
Only once that I remember. Yeah.
Okay. Only once that you
witnessed this?
Well, I was down. So he like put in the microwave.
Incredulous voice.
He put in the microwave, heated it up, cut out the middle.
What?
Went upstairs.
Salacious.
And then came down and reported back.
Oh my goodness.
It was too much. Too much.
Richie, wait. So you were just sitting there before and after?
Well, I mean, we're a whole floor apart. I mean, this isn't 9.5
so
weeks.
So he just walks upstairs
eyes wide
with
shut,
the cantaloupe.
Eyes wide. Nope.
I dropped that the other day.
That would have been
walks back downstairs with the cantaloupe and just like, hey, guys.
I don't know if he, I don't know, man. We're going too far.
Can't even
Richie, get us back on the rails with something here on Sports
Ruben, Push. Ruben, all you need to know is Joe wouldn't answer that question on the lie detector, okay? That's all you need to know. But I wanted to ask a very specific question to Ruben, since you're there today, about this Phillies team. As a former general manager and as somebody who was on the coaching side, something that we're not going to see as fans, but I know you'll have the answer, is at what point does Dombrowski go downstairs and talk to Thompson? And how does that conversation go when the team's struggling for this long?
Great question.
Well, Dave Dombrowski's constantly talking with Rob Thompson. I mean, constantly. That's something that you do as a GM. You have to be sort of in lockstep with your manager. And I know just from in the past, I mean, Dave Dombrowski hired me in Boston as a first base coach. So with he and John Farrell, they discuss things all the time. And everything's on the table all the time. And Dave...
But at what point does that conversation get? Does it get heated? I mean, is it? I mean, with 2 months at this level, does it ever turn up?
I just don't think that Thompson's done anything to really overheat Dave. But what probably overheats Dave is the fact that these guys are just not playing good baseball. They're playing well.
Rich, but Thompson's the manager of that. Like he's still the steward of the ship. He should get blamed too.
Richard, there's something else here I want to jump in on though. This is key in my opinion with this situation. I actually think where the rubber meets the road is less about Dave Dombrowski and more about John Middleton. I mean, it's John Middleton's money that's going to all these players. It's John Middleton who said, you know, a year and a half ago to us on the show, you know, he wants to win multiple championships and have this be the heir of the Philadelphia Phillies. So he's the one. His is the only vote that really, really, really counts. And I wonder when he turns up the heat. Because if I'm John Middleton, I'm getting pretty ticked.
Just having known John Middleton, though, just know how he operates. And yes, he probably is pretty ticked right now. He's going to allow Dave Dombrowski to do what he needs to do. He trusts him because Dave Dombrowski knows what he's doing.
And that's sure. good. That's a really good thing. All right, Richie, give me an answer here. A character from a school movie.
I'm going to give one from a movie that you need to sit down and watch, Joe. Slater from Dazed and Confused.
You do got need it, to my watch man. It. So I started putting together my list of movies to watch because I made a determination. The next year and a half, from now until New Year's Day, January 1st, 2026, I give myself a year and a half, I'm going to watch a ton of movies I haven't seen.
Oh,
a ton.
Welcome aboard, buddy.
And that's what I did on the plane ride. That's why I watched Mamma Mia. That's why I watched Straight Outta Compton. That's why I watched Chasing Amy.
Is the purpose
which is kind
of this
weird,
to
but
try
it's pretty good.
What do you mean kind of weird?
Best friend's an idiot. The best friend.
Jason Lee.
That guy's totally out of line. He's totally out of line.
Are you familiar with Jason Lee?
Yeah,
have you
I know.
Watched
from
those other movies?
Almost like... famous.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So is this in an attempt to sort of bring yourself up to speed?
100%.
So put Dazed and Confused on your list.
It's on the list.
Okay, good.
No, I'm going to take care
so
of this
So does this
stuff.
Mean you'll stop watching the other things like Cheers
I will minimize them.
West Wing? Now,
I watched Cheers
on.
Yesterday.
Well,
I watched Cheers in Grease one night. One night it was like,
did
you know
really?
What? Enough
of
all
your
this
time.
Other stuff.
Did you
never see Cheers?
No, you've seen it 15 times,
cover to cover.
All right, it's not about time
He's
number 15.
It.
It's time for time number 6. Ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to say that it is back this fall here on WIP, Turkey Bowl VI. I know the kids call that 6. But in football terms, we use Roman numerals, boys and girls. Turkey Bowl VI is happening.
That looks so legit.
Turkey Bowl VI.
And the I.
Turkey Bowl VI. That's right. So it's
powerful.
Turkey Bowl 6, VI on your Roman numerals. Look, it's going to happen again. And we're very, very happy to announce that. And obviously to announce it during the summer when students, who could be football players or not, are listening to us right now. So, boys and girls, moms and dads, grandmom and grandpops, aunts and uncles, alums, school principals and athletic directors, and all those good parts from all those schools throughout the Delaware Valley. It is time for you in the coming weeks, and you can actually do it starting now at 94WIP.com, to nominate your school and your school's rivalry game to be broadcast this Thanksgiving right here on WIP. So, look, we've done this 5 times previously. It has always been fun. I mean, it's a very unique thing, obviously, a station, and I don't say this to pat WIP on the back. I'm just saying this to be real. A station, obviously, as big as WIP. I mean, this is not one of those stations, 88 point something. Like, no one knows what that station is. Like, this is WIP. And on WIP, your high school can be featured. Your rivalry game can be featured. And that's something we've done 5 prior times. We did it with Ridley and Interboro. We did it with Quakertown and Penn Ridge. It happened with Chichester and Sun Valley. A couple years ago, we were at Ryan and Washington. And last year, of course, Haddon Heights and Haddon Field. And it has always been, for me, and I think for us, a thrill. Also, I feel a sense of, frankly, a responsibility to make sure we give you a great broadcast and give those kids a great broadcast to get their names, as many of them, on the air. You know, if Johnson makes the tackle, as tempted as I am to say 23 with the tackle, it's actually my job to know that 23 is actually Johnson, so I can say his name right. By the way, if I don't know it, maybe I'll just say Johnson, because what does anyone listen? No, I try to get it right. And the bottom line is Turkey Bowl is back, and you can submit. Now, here's the deal. Really, in the end, the school themselves have to be involved. So it's the athletic director and the principals that really have to sign off on doing this. So get your athletic director or principal. Go to them. Call them. Text them. Text them right now, especially if you got a good relationship with them. Get to the athletic director or the principal and tell them 94WIP.com is where they need to go to nominate the game. By the way, ultimately, of course, you know, in October, this thing's going to get real as it'll get whittled down to a couple schools, and then a game will be chosen and it'll lead up to Thanksgiving. One wrinkle this year, and I think this is a good wrinkle and an important wrinkle. the games that are eligible are not just literally the Thanksgiving Day games. It is now also the Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, a term we've never heard before. Oh. But there are a lot of rivalry games throughout the Delaware Valley that have been moved to the Wednesday.
And what?
And we didn't want to.
When are they? What?
The Wednesday night, before right?
Thanksgiving. I don't know if it's 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like the evening before.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometime the day before. Because I think for a lot of different reasons. Probably people just want to stay home on Thanksgiving. And you can do it on the Wednesday. And great. So we didn't want to leave those schools and those games out. So whether it's the Wednesday or the Thursday, that Thanksgiving range, your game can be on WIP. And John, you know how meaningful this game is to the kids. And,
oh my gosh!
You know, so
these are the kids that you grew up with that you care so much about. It's the purest form of football, and this is the last game for a lot of these
for
kids.
For most of them. That's right.
Oh, yeah, means so much.
So this nomination period is going to go through September 29th. And there's ultimately going to be 7 games chosen that will be the finalist. And then from there, you know, the real fun begins with the students and the faculty and the family members and everybody voting, so to speak. So, again, get to your athletic director or the principal, because the school has to be totally on board. I mean, it only can happen if the school's on board. And and by the way, the school and the other school, whichever school ultimately wins this, $3,000 is going to go to both schools for their program. So that's really good stuff. So, and we also want to thank our returning sponsors, which are Steam Fitters Local 420 and Bradford White Water Heaters. And we really look forward to bringing you another Turkey Bowl this year on WIP. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Phils are definitely falling. Maybe not totally free falling, but they're falling. And the Eagles have had a heck of a training camp. And it's great to see, you know, Jalen playing as well as he has. Although, of course, we didn't see him the other day in the game. But we'll see coming up in a couple of days whether the first stringers play in the next preseason game. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning, sir.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Joe, welcome back. Thank you. You have me thinking about Thanksgiving now. It's
nice.
August, so I appreciate that.
Listen, let's hope the Phillies
second weren't... turkey reference of the show. How about it?
Let's hope we're not in a bad Phillies mood on Thanksgiving, you know? Because it's been gnarly lately.
Don't let anybody give you a hard time about going back to Greece. My wife and I go to Aruba every year for 10 years now. So if you like
The perfect weather.
Aruba.
It's literally the perfect. I think it rains once a year. I had my honeymoon
in Aruba.
Once a year, I think it
rains. That's incredible.
Wow. Some crazy number.
I imagine the water in Aruba as just a different color than everywhere else in the world. Am I wrong?
It's spectacular.
Why aren't you going after Ken? You go after Joe for going to Greece twice.
Well,
Ken says 10 times to Aruba. You don't go after him.
Yeah, gorgeous. Right.
And
gorgeous.
Suburban is the same color, I can tell you that much.
Mm.
And Joe, with all the developments that you listed there that occurred while you were away,
yeah.
The most concerning one of all, which you did not list and you probably don't know, is that Rhea has found herself agreeing with me on an almost daily basis.
Well, listen, I can't. I think you're a smart guy. I think you know your stuff.
Oh, but it's frightening both of us.
All right.
You're saying Rhea's getting smarter, or I'm getting dumber?
Look, here's what I want to know since I was gone. John, did you get to Green Day?
No.
I got to Green Day.
Wait.
I didn't.
I went to Green Day.
What were you doing instead?
My daughter had
His daughter was
COVID.
Sick. Yeah, he couldn't go.
All right.
I went without him.
All right.
It was really fun.
I had a great time.
It was an awesome show.
Ken, what do you got on the Phils?
So I'm a little intrigued here because Kevin Stocker said something on the broadcast the other day when the ball went right past JT. And the phrase he used was, they're just not present in these games. And you know, this whole thing is starting to feel exactly like the collapse last year with the Eagles. And during that collapse, as everybody remembers, everybody was walking around saying, Nick Sirianni has lost the room, he's lost the room, he's lost the room. When is somebody going to suggest that Rob Thompson has lost the room? I mean, why? You know that I've been concerned about Rob Thompson since day one, basically. Why is Rob Thompson getting a pass here?
Well, he's not getting a pass with me. I mean, if you notice, Ken, I brought up multiple times today, his job totally could be on the line. And frankly, probably should be on the line because he's got too much talent for the team to be playing like this. And if he's too easy on them or whatever, that's not pushing the right buttons, then, you know, then it would be time to dismiss him at the end of the year. I mean, I'm fully on board with that being on the table if they don't get their act together.
I mean, you know, the sense of urgency, I've always been concerned with the level of urgency that you seem to perceive from Rob Thompson.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, even Ruben is like, I promise you, he hasn't lost the team. Well, you know, 70% of the listeners and a lot of the hosts here think Nick Sirianni lost the team and want him fired. And they don't want him back. So it's just, it seems to me a double standard that's either unfair to Nick or is unfair to Rob in the other direction. So,
yeah, I know. I understand
listen,
your point.
Don't mistake steadiness for, you know, someone who's not urgent. Believe me. I know this man. I know Rob Thompson. I've known him for a long time. The man has urgency.
But he handles
things differently, and he doesn't handle things publicly, and that's the beauty of what Rob Thompson does.
All right, Ruben, let me attack while we're in this zone.
Go ahead.
The moment in the game the other day while I was gone when there's two outs in the ninth, it's Stubbs at bat, JT is on the bench, he's obviously a better player, even though he's a diminished JT, he's better than the best of Garrett Stubbs, and Rob Thompson doesn't go to him because he just wants to give him the full day off. Now, in my mind, that's okay when you're up by 13 games. It's not okay when you're up by, and I don't know what it was that day, 3 or 4 or 2 or 1 on the Dodgers and the Brewers. Like, it's a different deal now.
Correct.
So I don't like that.
Correct. I hated it. While on broadcast, I was like, what's going on? And now I know what's going on. And so it will not happen again.
It will not happen again?
It will not happen again. I guarantee you it won't happen ever again. This season,
because JT was mad.
Why do you guarantee that?
I will tell you it won't happen again. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
So Ruben, hold on, I'm not sure what we're talking about.
What Ruben's saying is he's heard something, and that will not occur again.
It will not happen again.
Okay.
Rube, I'd like to hear this from you because I'd like to hear from you specifically whether or not you think I'm right. To me, the number one reason that he did not pinch hit JT in that spot was because he was afraid that if JT tied the game and it went into extra innings, then JT was going to have to catch. So he would rather lose the game in the ninth than tie the game and have to put JT behind the plate in extra innings.
That is not the reason.
Am I crazy?
That is not the reason.
Let me ask if this is the reason. He's afraid that JT, if he ropes a double or a triple, will have to run to third base, second base, and his hamstring and other parts of his body could get injured and affect JT down the stretch in October. And it's a form of load management in baseball.
That was not the reason.
All right. I'm going to come in and beat it out of you in about 5 minutes.
You got to tell. I mean, this is radio.
Recovery? Extra recovery?
Not the reason.
Can you give
is he banged up in another way?
I'm telling you, it's never going to happen again.
Okay. Ken, give me a great answer from a school movie, a fascinating character, great character.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have that
question? Oh, we lost him. Oh, he's gone. So call me sometime, and was that a code for a movie?
Joe, I have a great idea. Remember how you did the game show thing?
Yeah.
About us guessing? Let's do that with Ruben.
Let's play a game called Ruben's Uncomfortable to disclose how and why he knows what he knows, but he knows something, and he's letting us know that it's not going to happen again. Do we accept that?
Hold on.
I mean, sometimes you got to talk in code.
Yeah.
He's talking in code here.
You got to protect your sources and whatnot.
Does that mean we will not be conservative in our approach to pinch hitting moving forward?
No, I think that's... Listen, everybody knows how important all these games are. And from now on to the end of the season, things are going to...
Okay. All right, Seltzer, I got a guess. Different. I got a guess. You ready?
I get it.
I got a guess. Bryce Harper got mad and went to Rob Thompson.
Bingo.
That's it.
It's possible.
You got it. That's it.
Did I get it?
No.
All right,
don't be ridiculous.
Today's Twitter poll question of the day. John Middleton got mad at him.
No. Okay.
Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, actually two of them. The first, are you convinced that Jalen Hurts is all the way back to being a great quarterback again? Yes or no? Where do you stand on that one? Second poll question, what worries you the most right now with the Phillies? Well, I shouldn't say right now per se. The question actually is, what worries you the most with the Phillies? It's similar to right now, but when I think about the Phillies and I think about worry and I think about good times and bad, I think about October. I view this through the prism of October. What worries you the most with the Phillies to come then? But I will say this, what happens now could impact October because you might not have home field advantage. You might not even get a bye anymore. I mean, the Phillies are only two games in front of the Brewers, who did lose last night, so that helps. What worries you the most with the Phillies? Is it A, starting pitching, B, relief pitching, C, hitting, or D, Rob Thompson?
You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let me tell you something that worries me on a different topic. If we talk about last year with the Eagles, are people going to get mad at me for bringing up the collapse? Now, some people get mad when the collapse goes, by the way, I thought Jalen was kind of out of line the other day with, like, why is that relevant or whatever the heck he said. Like, why is it relevant that he went to talk to Wink Martindale? It's relevant for multiple reasons. First off, credit to Jalen for going to talk to Wink Martindale. That's fascinating. I applaud Jalen for doing that. I also, though, think it's a major mark against Sirianni and Brian Johnson. Right, so why?
And Matt Patricia, and whoever else in the building.
So why is it relevant? It's relevant because it's newsworthy. By the way, that was by far the most newsworthy thing from that article, and that
Martindale
was fascinating.
Said it had never happened in his 40 years of coaching. I hated it. I thought it was outrageous. But I mean, I hear what you're saying. But never happened in 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fascinating nugget. And so I was kind of joking, sort of joking earlier, like, well, if I bring up last year, will people get mad at me? People that got mad at, you know, like the writer Tim McManus last week or ESPN.com for the story. Listen, you get a story when you get a story. If that story came together, look, ideally, would that story have been out 2 or 3 weeks ago? Sure, before camp. But if the writer only pieces it all together last week and is able to present it last week in total the way he feels like this is the time to release the story, then that's it.
And also, how many Eagles fans, I know all of us and all the people who call this station, wanted to know what the hell happened last year. How did it all play out? Yeah. Why did the season fall apart? Well, guess what? He got the answers. Of course, it's an article that's worth putting out. What are we talking about?
1,000%. 1,000%. And maybe they can play peekaboo this year and those two guys don't have to overlap and coexist that much together. And they can swim as a team and sail. That's great. Or maybe they get totally back on the same page, and that would be great as well, although it doesn't seem like they're, you know, going to be in the same room all that often, so to speak, because Kellen Moore and Hurts are doing their thing. Like, who knows? Like, maybe their relationship will go awry in a way that affects the season again. Who knows? But the bottom line is right now things are in a better spot, and that's good. But I say all that to say, John, we have some audio of Jason Kelce yesterday talking to Rob Motti about last year. And ordinarily, like, I wouldn't necessarily want to go back to last year. It puts us all in a bad mood. But when Kelce speaks, we listen. So, I mean, Celso, don't you think we should play this audio of last year talk from Jason Kelce?
Yes, 100%.
And so if anyone wants to get mad at me, don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce, yes.
Good luck,
guys. Ruben, that'll give me cover, right? All right. So Kelce was asked by Rob Motti about last year. Let's start with the way this started.
How would Jason, the analyst, explain how or why the Eagles season kind of unraveled towards the end last year after a 10-1 start?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have a much more buttoned up analysis and formulation of that closer we get, because I know, especially week two, when we're in Philly, that's going to be something that everybody's going to want to talk about.
All right, so initially there, just, and by the way, we're going to get to the bulk of his answer in a moment, but it's interesting the way he frames that. When he references week two, he's talking about working for ESPN, the Monday night game that'll be here. So he knows that that's going to be a big thing that week. All right, let's listen to Kelce when he really gets going. He gave a very long answer, but let's get to the crux of what he said. He had already referenced that it clearly wasn't just one part of the team, any player, one thing. It was much more complex and involved than just one thing. And this is really how he answered the question.
I think we had a lot of talent last year, but, you know, there were pieces that we were missing. I think the cohesion certainly wasn't there like it was the year before. Obviously, we lost two coordinators, which, you know, it didn't work out with the replacements. And I think both, you know, Brian Desai, I think that Matt Patricia, all these guys are great coaches, but for whatever reason, the circumstances of the staffs or the players or whatever, it didn't really come together right. And on offense, you saw, you know, when we struggled, we went to try and go simpler. And that's, I feel like you have one of two ways to go when you're struggling. You either go simple and get back to your basics and your bread and butter, where you go complex and you try and design your way out of these things and outsmart the opponent. And on offense, we went simpler. On defense, we went the opposite way. We completely overhauled our defensive coordinator and system. And you kind of saw what the downsides of both of those happen on offense and defense, where offensively, I think everybody would agree that, you know, we probably went too simple and that got a little bit predictable, and it could put us in situations that were probably harder to execute in. And I think on defense, I think it created a little bit of hesitancy and guys just not really being able to play fast and aggressive because of they're unsure. And I think that players didn't execute at the level that we did the year before, you know, me included.
It's a fascinating answer on a lot of accounts, Sean. I see you shaking
it's
your head.
It's fascinating that it ever was attempted. I mean, it's fascinating that people with good football sense would decide that revamping the entire defensive language and plan halfway through the year with a new defensive coordinator would work. Like, that really is sort of foolish. We were, as fans, foolish to believe that would work. It really is. Think about what Vic Fangio said recently. I think this was just prior to camp. He talked about how important it was during OTAs to install as much as possible. So if you needed, I don't know, an extra blitz or a different scheme during the season, you could refer back and pull that up from the annals of practice history. Yeah. You know, like basically it sounded to me like last year, what Vic Fangio described was what part of the problem. We just didn't
it
have
wasn't installed
enough
yet.
Smart yeah. football that could answer the our opponent's new schemes.
But I will say, well, two different things, offense and defense. I will say this on the defensive front. They obviously did not feel, and I'm going to say the they is Sirianni and Howie, because I think we know it kind of runs, you know, and it might be Howie Sirianni, but, you know, you get
yeah.
the... But they didn't feel it was good enough. I mean, I don't disrespect their choice to try something different. It didn't work, but it's fascinating that they clearly didn't feel that they were humming.
I think they screwed it up the minute they brought Matt Patricia in the spring.
Well, Rhea, I didn't like that.
It's set up. I mean, you don't think Desai was uncomfortable and looking over his shoulder the whole time, that he was being micromanaged? That was a failure from the get-go.
I agree with you. No. I was against the Patricia thing, no. And to me, it was just like,
why?
What would be the closest thing to that in baseball? Like bringing in a rival that you kind of hate. I mean, Seltzer, help me out here. Who would be like if Jeremy Shockey was an Eagle or?
Oh God, no.
Who am I looking for? Who was that Neil
hold
guy in
Joe,
for the Penguins that went after?
It's not like that.
Claude Giroux. What was
would
that guy?
Would you say
something Neil? Whatever that guy.
Yeah, would you say guy. If Nick Sirianni fails this season, it's like a total betrayal? And can you imagine ever bringing Bill Belichick in with his big brain?
Yeah,
like
but
it really is. Your merits as a coach
can outweigh
some of those complications. We've got the Dallas Cowboys ex-offensive coordinator as our offensive coordinator
now.
I like it because he knows what he's doing.
DeMarco Murray. That's it.
DeMarco.
That's the one.
I still feel a little icky about the Kellen. I feel a little icky on the Kellen Moore thing. It's a little.
You shouldn't.
It's got a little ick.
Because we're going to roll over people.
I'm right. To me, the number one reason that he did not pinch hit JT in that spot was because he was afraid that if JT tied the game and it went into extra innings, then JT was going to have to catch. So he would rather lose the game in the ninth than tie the game and have to put JT behind the plate in extra innings.
That is not
Am
the
I
reason.
Am I crazy?
That is not the reason.
Let me ask if this is the reason. He's afraid that JT, if he ropes a double or a triple, will have to run to third base. Second base, and his hamstring and other parts of his body could get injured and affect JT down the stretch in October. And it's a form of load management in baseball.
That was not the reason.
All right. Well, I'm going to come in and beat it out of you in about 5 minutes.
You got to tell. I mean, this is radio.
Recovery? Extra recovery?
Not the reason.
Can you give it
is he banged up in another way?
I'm telling you, it's never going to happen again.
Okay. Ken, give me a great answer from a school movie, a fascinating character, great character.
Oh, why don't you call me sometime when you have
that question? Oh, he's gone. So call me sometime, and was that a code for a movie?
Joe, I have a great idea. Remember how you did the game show thing about us guessing? Let's do that with Ruben.
Let's play a game called Ruben's Uncomfortable to disclose how and why he knows what he knows, but he knows something, and he's letting us know that it's not going to happen again. So do we accept that?
Hold on.
I mean, sometimes you got to talk in code.
Yeah.
He's talking in code here.
You got to protect your sources and whatnot.
Does that mean we will not be conservative in our approach to pinch hitting moving forward?
No, I think that's... Listen, everybody knows how important all these games are. And from now on to the end of the season, things are going to...
All right, Seltzer, I got a guess. Different. I got a guess. You ready? I got a guess. Bryce Harper got mad and went to Rob Thompson.
Bingo.
That's it.
It's possible.
You got it. That's it.
Did I get it?
No.
All right, let's get to
that'd be ridiculous.
Today's Twitter poll question of the day. John Middleton got mad at him.
No. Okay.
Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, actually two of them. The first, are you convinced that Jalen Hurts is all the way back to being a great quarterback again? Yes or no? Where do you stand on that one? Second poll question, what worries you the most right now with the Phillies? Well, I shouldn't say right now per se. The question actually is, what worries you the most with the Phillies? It's similar to right now, but when I think about the Phillies and I think about worry and I think about good times and bad, I think about October. I view this through the prism of October. What worries you the most with the Phillies come then? But I will say this, what happens now could impact October because you might not have home field advantage. You might not even get a bye anymore. I mean, the Phillies are only two games in front of the Brewers, who did lose last night, so that helps. What worries you the most with the Phillies? Is it A, starting pitching, B, relief pitching, C, hitting, or D, Rob Thompson? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let me tell you something that worries me on a different topic. If we talk about last year with the Eagles, are people going to get mad at me for bringing up the collapse? Now, some people get mad when the collapse goes, by the way, I thought Jalen was kind of out of line the other day with, like, why is that relevant or whatever the heck he said. Like, why is it relevant that he went to talk to Wink Martindale? It's relevant for multiple reasons. First off, credit to Jalen for going to talk to Wink Martindale. That's fascinating. I applaud Jalen for doing that. I also, though, think it's a major mark against Sirianni and Brian Johnson. Right, so why?
And Matt Patricia, and whoever else in the building.
So why is it relevant? It's relevant because it's newsworthy. By the way, that was by far the most newsworthy thing from that article, and that
Martindale
was fascinating.
Said it had never happened in his 40 years of coaching. I hated it. I thought it was outrageous. But I mean, I hear what you're saying. But never happened in 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fascinating nugget. And so I was kind of joking, sort of joking earlier, like, well, if I bring up last year, will people get mad at me? People that got mad at, you know, like the writer Tim McManus last week or ESPN.com for the story. Listen, you get a story when you get a story. If that story came together, look, ideally, would that story have been out 2 or 3 weeks ago? Sure, before camp. But if the writer only pieces it all together last week and is able to present it last week in total the way he feels like this is the time to release the story, then that's it.
And also, how many Eagles fans, I know all of us and all the people who call this station wanted to know what the hell happened last year. How did it all play out? Yeah. Why did the season fall apart? Well, guess what? He got the answers. Of course, it's an article that's worth putting out. What are we talking about?
1,000%. 1,000%. And maybe they can play peekaboo this year and those two guys don't have to overlap and coexist that much together and they can swim as a team and sail. That's great. Or maybe they get totally back on the same page, and that would be great as well, although it doesn't seem like they're going to be in the same room all that often, so to speak, because Kellen Moore and Hurts are doing their thing. Like, who knows? Like, maybe their relationship will go awry in a way that affects the season again. Who knows? But the bottom line is right now things are in a better spot, and that's good. But I say all that to say, John, we have some audio of Jason Kelce yesterday talking to Rob Motti about last year. And ordinarily, like, I wouldn't necessarily want to go back to last year. It puts us all in a bad mood. But when Kelce speaks, we listen. So, I mean, Celso, don't you think we should play this audio of last year talk from Jason Kelce?
Yes, 100%.
And so if anyone wants to get mad at me, don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce, yes.
Good luck, guys.
Ruben, that'll give me cover, right? All right. So Kelce was asked by Rob Motti about last year. Let's start with the way this started.
How would Jason, the analyst, explain how or why the Eagles season kind of unraveled towards the end last year after a 10-1 start?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have a much more buttoned up analysis and formulation of that closer we get, because I know, especially week two, when we're in Philly, that's going to be something that everybody's going to want to talk about.
All right, so initially there, just, and by the way, we're going to get to the bulk of his answer in a moment, but it's interesting the way he frames that. When he references week two, he's talking about working for ESPN, the Monday night game that'll be here. So he knows that that's going to be a big thing that week. All right, Let's listen to Kelce when he really gets going. He gave a very long answer, but let's get to the crux of what he said. He had already referenced that it clearly wasn't just one part of the team, any player, one thing. It was much more complex and involved than just one thing. And this is really how he answered the question.
I think we had a lot of talent last year, but you know, there were pieces that we were missing. I think the cohesion certainly wasn't there like it was the year before. Obviously, we lost two coordinators, which, you know, it didn't work out with the replacements. And I think both, you know, Brian, Desai, I think that Matt Patricia, all these guys are great coaches. But for whatever reason, the circumstances of the staffs or the players or whatever, it didn't really come together right. And on offense, you saw, you know, when we struggled, we went to try and go simpler. And that's, I feel like you have one or two ways to go when you're struggling. You either go simple and get back to your basics and your bread and butter, or you go complex and you try and design your way out of these things and outsmart the opponent. And on offense, we went simpler. On defense, we went the opposite way. We completely overhauled our defensive coordinator and system. And you kind of saw what the downsides of both of those happen on offense and defense, where offensively, I think everybody would agree that, you know, we probably went too simple and that got a little bit predictable and it could put us in situations that were probably harder to execute in. And I think on defense, I think it created a little bit of hesitancy and guys just not really being able to play fast and aggressive because of they're unsure. And I think that players didn't execute at the level that we did the year before, you know, me included.
It's a fascinating answer on a lot of accounts, Sean. I see you shaking
it's
your head.
It's fascinating
over there.
That it ever was attempted. I mean, it's fascinating that people with good football sense would decide that revamping the entire defensive language and plan halfway through the year with a new defensive coordinator would work. Like, that really is sort of foolish. We were, as fans, foolish to believe that would work. It really is. Think about what Vic Fangio said recently. I think this was just prior to camp. He talked about how important it was during OTAs to install as much as possible. So if you needed, I don't know, an extra blitz or a different scheme during the season, you could refer back and pull that up from the annals of practice history. Yeah. You know, like basically it sounded to me like last year, what Vic Fangio described was what part of the problem. We just didn't
it
have
wasn't installed
enough
yet.
Smart yeah. football that could answer the our opponent's new schemes.
But I will say, well, two different things, offense and defense. I will say this on the defensive front. They obviously did not feel, and I'm going to say that they is Sirianni and Howie, because I think we know it kind of runs, you know. And it might be Howie Sirianni, but you know, you get
yeah.
But they didn't feel it was good enough. I mean, I don't disrespect their choice to try something different. It didn't work, but it's fascinating that they clearly didn't feel that they were humming.
I think they screwed it up the minute they brought Matt Patricia in
well,
the spring.
Rhea, I didn't like that.
It's set up. I mean, you don't think Desai was uncomfortable and looking over his shoulder the whole time, that he was being micromanaged. That was a failure from the get-go.
I agree with you. Yeah. I was against the Patricia thing. Yeah. And to me, it was just like,
why? Ruben,
what would be the closest thing to that in baseball? Like bringing in a rival that you kind of hate. I mean, Seltzer, help me out here. Who would be like if Jeremy Shockey was an Eagle or...
Oh, God, no.
Who am I looking for? Who was that Neil guy in for
Joe,
the Penguins that went after
it's not like that.
Claude Giroux? What was
would
that guy?
Would you say...
Something Neil. Whatever that guy.
Yeah, would you say guy. If Nick Sirianni fails this season, it's like a total betrayal? And can you imagine ever bringing Bill Belichick in with his big brain?
Yeah,
like,
but
it really is. Your merits as a coach
Patricia.
Can
yeah,
outweigh
but it's Patricia, not Belichick.
Some of those complications. We've got the Dallas Cowboys ex-offensive coordinator as our offensive coordinator
yeah, you
now.
You know what? I still
and
feel...
And I like it I because still, he knows what he's doing.
DeMarco
like
Murray. That's it.
DeMarco.
That's the one.
I still feel a little icky about the Kellen. I feel a little icky on the Kellen Moore thing. It's a little...
You should.
should.
Got a little itch.
Because we're going to roll over people.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.